Call to order. This is the March 25th, 2024 public meeting of the Zoning Board of Adjustment of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, and State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, and that an annual notice was published in the Hunterdon County Democrat and the Star Ledger. Notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the bulletin board at the front of the municipal building, the front door of the public safety building, and sent to the Hunterdon County Democrat and the Star Ledger no later than, a correction from the notice that may be out there, Saturday as opposed to Friday, prior to the meeting. Would you please join us in a flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And just an administrative comment, for anyone who does look at the agendas and clicks on the box account, we have been having some challenges with the box account, which is a public account. That's hopefully been rectified, and we should see a good go forward from here on out and not have any of those difficulties. Madam Secretary, would you do a roll call?
Mr. Bailey?
Here.
Ms. Kiefer?
Here.
Ms. White?
Here.
Mr. McKiernan?
Present.
Mr. Allen?
Here.
Mr. Pepper?
Here.
Mr. Ryan?
Here.
And I believe we had no vouchers, am I correct?
Yeah,
there were vouchers. Did anyone review the vouchers?
I have those.
I can look at them after the meeting.
Okay.
Yeah. And if we have meeting minutes on the... were they in the box account? Okay. Anyone have comments or questions on the meeting minutes from January 22nd, 29th, or February
26th? I called in one.
Called in a correction?
Yeah, so for the 20th, for January 22nd, Ms. White was in attendance, but she wasn't listed on the members in attendance on the first meeting.
That was corrected. So for the January 22nd meeting minutes,
January 22nd reorg minutes.
We have a motion to approve.
There's one correction on it.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, under Regency Landscape, the motion and second
wasn't correct. Okay. That's corrected. Do we have a motion to approve those with the corrections? Is that approved? Second? Move second? Got it. All those in favor?
Aye.
I'm abstaining.
Who's not here for reorder? So we have two abstentions. And then everybody, why don't you just call the roll?
Yeah, call the roll.
Make sure you get it right.
That's easier.
Mr. Bailey?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Ms. White?
Yes.
Call everybody. If they aren't here, they'll say abstain.
Okay. Mr. McKiernan?
Abstain.
Mr.
Naylor? Here.
Mr. Pepper?
Here. Yes. Okay,
Mr.
He's not here.
Okay. Ms. Stevens?
Abstain.
Did we have any corrections for the January 29th meeting? No. Do you have a motion to approve the meeting?
A motion to approve. I'll second.
Roll call?
Mr. Bailey?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Ms. White?
Yes, and I was actually the present for the correct about that.
Yes. Mr. McKiernan?
Abstain.
Mr. Naylor?
Yes.
Mr. Pepper?
Yes.
Mr. Ryan?
Abstain.
Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
And any corrections or changes for the February 26th meeting? No? Motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Roll call?
Mr. Bailey?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Ms. White?
Yes.
Mr. McKiernan?
Abstain.
Mr. Naylor?
Yes.
Mr. Pepper?
Yes.
Mr. Ryan?
Yes.
Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
So the meeting minutes are approved. Resolutions for approval. The first one is Regency Landscape, LLC. This is a resolution memorializing grant of D3 conditional use variance. Now, we did have a couple of comments and changes on that.
Correct. So... we have some typographical revisions and corrections as of yesterday. So the current version is dated March 24, version 3. And unless you, we sent out the track changes, so unless anyone wants me to read these changes into the record, they're just typographical corrections, nothing substantive. So the people eligible are Bailey, Kiefer, Light, McTiernan, Naylor, Pepper, and Ryan. One of you can make a motion to adopt, and one can make, can say.
Motion to adopt?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
We have a vote?
Roll call.
Come on.
Mr. Bailey?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Ms. Light?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Naylor?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Abstain.
Mr. Ryan?
Yes. You never know.
And we have a resolution for St. Luke's Medical Building, resolution number 2024-02, memorializing a grant of final site plan approval. We also had a few comments and changes on that, but those were again...
Again, typographical revisions, corrections. So again, this last draft is dated yesterday, March 24th, version 3. And people eligible are Bailey, Kiefer, Light, McTiernan, Naylor, Pepper, Ryan.
Motion to approve?
So moved.
Second. Mr. Bailey?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Ms. White?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Naylor?
Yes.
Mr. Pepper?
Yes.
Mr. Ryan?
Well, you missed your opportunity for the voice vote for this one.
But I tried, but... So we'll now move to our public hearings. This is application number BOA, Board of Adjustment, 2022-12, Team Challenge. When we last completed our meeting, I believe Ms. Santa Maria was asking questions. Are you willing to or needing to continue?
Yes, I do have a few more questions, but I...
How many questions? I thought you're not going to have a lot of questions.
I'm not going to have a lot of questions.
Good evening, Chairman and Board Members. Sylvia Hirsch for the applicant. Just standing because I submitted a letter on March 14, and there's a couple of organizational things I'd like to just discuss briefly with the board. And then there are two documents that I've read, which is still on the vote, should identify for you and allow you to see if you have any questions to ask. And that'll be kind of a complete picture for the seminary to go forward.
Ms. Santa Maria, would you like to go over those first before you continue questioning, or?
I'm going to leave it. I do want to take, I guess it's better for her to take the first rhythm.
Yeah,
okay.
Two other things, you need to tie this bow up.
Right, so with my March 14 letter, there were, I'm going out of order if it's good with the letter, but Civic City was my real fan of various documents that had been submitted to the board last year.
So put it this way, we had an exhibit list that Ms. Santa Maria was kind enough to put together this afternoon, and the marked exhibits are A1 through A19.
Correct.
And I'd asked her to send that as a Word doc, in case anyone wants to make any minor corrections to what we want to call these documents, but those are the exhibits that were entered. Then there's a bunch of exhibits marked not yet entered exhibits, which she's assigned A numbers to, A20 to A39.
Right, well, that was from my letter.
Right.
She picked everything up accurately from my letter.
Right.
I have all of those here. Don, do you want to go through one by one and mark them? These were previously provided to the board, but
they haven't been marked, right?
They have not been marked, but they were submitted to the board.
Right. I thought that was marked then.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Yep.
Yeah. You have one copy each?
I have two. In most cases, I have two or three copies of each. So I have one to be marked and one to stay in my file.
Right. One to be marked to go into the board file, one to stay in your file. Do you have one for either of the two attorneys with you?
I think Maria is aware of everything. If she needs anything after the meeting, I'll
Okay, and then after you complete your case, it would be helpful if you could provide, unless the board is satisfied with what they have, I was going to suggest that they supply a loose leaf notebook and all the exhibits in order from A1 to A whatever you mark, drop them off at the municipal building, and then they can pick them up. I'll do digitally and make my own notebook, but...
Right. So you want 8 copies of Mr. Burns' walk on?
So make, well, just in case you don't know, just in case, make 9 copies for the board.
Okay.
Make 1 copy for the office to leave in the notebook. And what the heck, make me a copy too. If you make the 9, you might as well make 10.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to make 1 from the Santa Maria as well.
Okay, there's 11. Make 1 for yourself. There's 12.
That's it.
If your client wants one, you can make a baker's dozen.
Okay, so I'll just go through those documents.
Yep.
And then I have a few other documents that I would like marked, but I'm just going to go through the 820 through 839.
And that's this witness presumably can identify all of these, correct?
Well, they've either been identified by Mr. Sheehan in his testimony last summer, or they've been identified by Mr. Rand. And you can
right, talk. Let's start. All right. Let's see where we go with this.
All right. All right, so we're starting with 820.
It says
June 28th email regarding daily parking needs at maximum occupancy, friends, 90, close friends.
Yep.
That's 820. Yeah, I just mark it and one copy to the board, to you. What should I do?
Yes. Mark one. Or mark one for yourself, mark one for the board file, and I'll mark my own.
All right. How about if I'm going to mark them as a group and bring them up to you as a group? No, bring them up one by one by one by one.
I'm going to say, if you just want to make one, I can make copies.
No. I'd like to say, mark two.
I'll have a little
bit. Yeah.
All right.
But just, if you're doing that, mark two groups. Mark one for me and one for her. I don't want to have a pile of paper that have to worry about marking.
Correct?
Yeah, I understand, but I have 2 copies of most everything, and I've got to keep one for myself.
Okay, right. Mark one. You're going to scan them. Send them out to everybody. But they're still going to put them
in. Remember, the board's going to be getting these in a loose leaf binder before the next meeting. So, you know, decide if you really want to copy them between now and then. That's up to you.
Scan them through the board professionals. We'll make copies of
the
morning.
All right. So
I want to get them scanned so they're in the Fox account. So any members of the public want to see them, they can see them.
Okay.
They've
already been submitted. They just don't have an exhibit number on them.
Correct. I want them to have the exhibit numbers on it to make it easy for anyone who wants to say, oh,
I understand.
I'd like to see exhibit 21.
All right. So A21 is.
A20.
We just went to
A20,
A21 is an email from Todd Sheehan dated June 28, 2023, read parking needs, and it also addresses deliveries and new vehicle departures during specifically. That is
A21. I'm sorry, is A21 the title? There's a title on the top. It says Team Challenge Daily Parking Needs. Is that A21? So this is A21. I have them backwards. So A20 is this?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's A20.
Okay.
This is A21. A22 is entitled Admissions Package. It says Dalton Team Challenge New Jersey at the top. And I do not see any dates in the package, but it is the admissions package. H22 Page 23 is an article entitled Adult Drinking Challenge, Evangel University's Center for Compassion partners with Adult and Teen Challenge USA to coordinate landmarks.
Okay, remind me, who referenced this article?
Todd Sheehan. There was questions from a board member about, well, can you tell us what your rate of success is? And Todd referred to this article, which deals with more of, not just this facility, but the program.
I was going to say, but Todd specifically testified that it had nothing to do with the Clinton location. So if I'm allowed to object, I would object.
You're allowed to object.
Okay.
Yeah, so this one, I'm going to have a hard time telling the board that this one should be admitted into evidence, because the author was not here to be questioned about it. And that was my recollection of the testimony also, that Todd said this was in general, but this was not referring to the Teen Challenge facility in Clinton Township.
Okay, well, I'll be looking for the same standard to be held for everybody else. I mean, it was something that was discussed before the board. The board can give it whatever weight you feel is appropriate, you know, given the fact that it doesn't deal with the Clinton facility only. It deals with
But this whole case, I mean, I believe the question was, Todd was asked what the success rate was in Clinton. He wasn't asked what the success
rate was. And then you did answer that, and then I don't know how this ended up.
Put it this way. Why don't you look it up in the transcript? For now, I'm going to, subject to any objections on the other thing, right now, 820, 821, 822, I'm going to suggest to the board they admit them to evidence. Unless you find something in the transcript to change my opinion on this, I believe that objection is correct, and that 823 should not be admitted into evidence. The board shouldn't look at it because that might prejudice them somehow. But you're going to be continuing anyway, so you look it up in the transcript.
Right. So
you're going to mark it for identification.
I'm going to mark it as A23 for ID.
Yeah, put ID only on it. For now, that's not going to be in the notebook that you send into the board. That'll be ID only.
A24 is my email to Denise Pilardo, providing information concerning the revenue generated by the production of cutting boards.
I just have an objection, just because I don't have anyone testifying to that.
Okay, you gotta go louder.
I'm sorry. I could not find anyone testifying to that that revenue amount.
What was your email based on? Where did you get the information?
I believe I got it from Todd Chan. We're going back to last July.
All right, so put it this way. Let's circle this one ID only at this point, and look that up in the transcript also. If Todd Sheehan gave that information, then in my opinion, A24 should be admitted to evidence. If he didn't testify to that, that's just from Ms. Hirsch, he can't testify. Maybe you can find someone who can give that information. Yeah. And by the way, I just want to make clear for the record, my advice on these issues and the objections are not based on hearsay. Because in an administrative proceeding, technically the hearsay rule doesn't apply, but there's case law that says the board shouldn't admit a document unless there's a person who's there to answer questions about it. And it's based on that case law.
Very good. All right. Page 25 is... It doesn't have a title on it, but what it is a listing of fleet vehicles that are parked at the Teen Challenge site. And I believe that Todd Sheehan did testify concerning this. This was in response to
the question. I believe he did. Any objections to this? I believe that
no
objections. Correct. No objections. Okay. Okay. So my advice to the board is 825 will be admitted into evidence. If any board members, when I give advice suggesting something is admitted into evidence, this is just my advice. I can't admit anything to evidence. You guys can. So unless someone says, no, I object, then we're going to assume that the chair admitted it to evidence.
Yes, we're listening.
Okay.
All right. And A26 says 2023 safety and security protocols And this was discussed in testimony by Todd Shannon.
Any objection there?
Around 24
my
hours.
My advice is that should be the evidence.
1.5.
That's what I say. My advice to somebody should be admitted to evidence. If you don't hear anything, that means, oh, yes, they agree it's going to be admitted to evidence.
Correct.
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 827
is a letter dated
June
6, 2022
from the IRS to
Dalton
Teen Challenge
in
New Jersey concerning tax exempt status.
Any objection?
No objection.
And there are also just, you know, if you look at it, there are a couple of other pages attached to it concerning name changes in New Jersey.
Yep. My advice is that should be admitted into evidence.
A28 is the resume of Grace Ardula, who is the counselor and the counselor on the site since November.
And someone, one of the board members asked what her credentials were. Any objection to that going into evidence?
No objection.
My advice is the board should accept that into evidence.
All right, 829 is a copy, calling a copy of the credentials of Chaplain William Alfonso.
That same?
It's not really credentials, it's just his ID badge, the document we're talking about. I don't have an objection,
right,
but it's not,
you're right. It's
not,
it shouldn't be labeled as a copy of credentials. There should be a copy of what? Wasn't there some kind of New York City?
Yeah, it's just a badge. It looks like State of New York, some kind of badge, and then it just is like an ID card that says chaplain.
It looks like a copy of Pastor William Alfonso ID card. November 16, 2023 submission with G. Hirsch email. How's that?
Mm-hmm.
The description? No objection, correct?
No objection.
My advice is this should be admitted to evidence.
Right. You know, I'm working on some exhibits that came along with my November 23 submission to the board. And item 830 is entitled Phase Overview. Doesn't have. Then there is, the next page is entitled Phase Requirements.
So again, the title of this is a little different. We'll have to mesh out the titles, but can I see a copy of that one? Because I don't remember off the top of my head. And can you show this over to Amy?
I have a can't find it. I have an issue with that one because...
You've got to talk loud.
I'm sorry. I have a small objection because if the board will recall, the question was posed to Todd Sheehan, what are the phases to complete the program? He was unable to testify about it, so the suggestion was we'll write it up and we'll bring something. And then he never actually testified about that document, and then Vernon was going to testify about the document.
So put it this way. I believe you're correct. I think the best way to handle 830 is to have your witness up here testify about it to get it in.
He did. Mr. Grant, do you recall that, Joe? I thought
this way.
Ready,
look it up in a transcript.
All right.
I do remember seeing the document, but I don't remember. I'm going to give this back to her. So 830 for now is ID only. My advice is on 8:30 not to admit at this time. Let her see if there's some support in transcript of this testimony, then I'll advise the board to admit it next time. At 8:31, I remember a lot of testimony about that.
It's a general daily schedule at the top. It doesn't have an agenda or other identifier on it.
Julie, do that again. Jackie didn't hear
it. I'm sorry. It says general daily schedule at the top. It doesn't have any date or other identifier.
Can you give me a copy so I can see that? No. You have a copy of that?
I do.
Hold up. Let me see before you
look at it. Here it goes. 1:30, 1:30.
Yeah.
There's two. No. 1:30.
I remember this one, and then you, and then.
Two.
Right.
She had questions about it. So go ahead.
Well, so that's sort of my. My issue. So it was introduced, and I did have a lot of questions about it at the last time we were here. And then Juliette has a submission today. It's dated March 14th of 2024, and it's got a different schedule. It's called current resident schedule.
No, it's not a replacement. It's a response to Mr. Pepper's question, which was he didn't want a general schedule. He was looking for the schedule of a specific resident.
All right, your position is that that is an accurate general schedule, and what you submitted March 14th is in response to what Mr. Pepper wanted more specific.
It's a specific resident schedule showing the vocation.
All right, so even if there's an objection to 831, my advice to the board is to admit 831. For what it's worth.
Which is the second schedule that was submitted.
No, the first one.
The first one, okay.
And
the second one.
The second one also.
Sounds good. Good comparison.
Yep.
All right, and I don't know what you want to do with this.
832.
It's a memo for me.
It's a legal argument, right?
It's a legal position paper addressing whether there's a need for certification of vocational staff. Okay. I believe I addressed it in argument to the board, although, you know.
Well, put it this way.
I responded. And so I just think since we are going to do, like, sort of conclusions of law, legal arguments for the board, we can just submit them with our packages.
Yeah, I would say that 832 is in the board's file. It's part of the record in this matter, but it's not truly an exhibit. Mm-hmm. And you can take whatever you had in 832 and put it into your written, you know, proposed findings and conclusions also. So I'm going to say 832 is not even for ID only. 832, in my opinion, shouldn't be an exhibit. It's a legal argument. And it's been submitted. The board has it in the file, and then you can include it in your findings and conclusions.
All right. Can I keep it as noted as 832 just for now? Keep everything in order.
Yeah, we're going to say 832, not used.
Oh, you're gonna.
Yeah, right on the.
Yeah,
we'll take it out, but leave the number in so it doesn't throw you off.
Thank you.
I have experience with applications with a lot of exhibits. This is nothing.
We're not done yet.
Was that like a challenge?
Yeah. I'm in the middle of an application where the applicant has close to 200 exhibits, and the objector has over 100 exhibits.
Can't top that, and I certainly don't intend to.
I got three notebooks.
All right. So, 833 is a July 31, 2023 letter from Acting Municipal Clerk Carla Connor, which has attached to it a listing of construction permits issued by the construction.
But this is judicial notice. This should be, my advice, this should be admitted. And you don't have an objection anyway, correct?
I don't. I just, to avoid duplication, March, the March 14th, 2024 submission has a memo dated March 4th, 2024, but the actual document attached is identical to 833.
Right. I was just trying to keep things so the board was looking at for information on construction permits that find it all in one place. But the intent is to have this just marked as 833.
That's acceptable.
Yep, that's fine with me.
It's really challenging our organization.
You doing good?
We'll grade you off the end.
See what condition it's in when I leave the meeting tonight. Okay. 834 is a first two pages of the redacted 2019-991 team challenge to New England.
Yeah. Any objections to that?
I continue my objection that it's redacted. It's a public document, and I don't see any reason.
But you can object to the weight the board should give to it. But I don't think it's a valid objection to the document, the fact that it's redacted. Because if you want, can't you go on and give the unredaction?
And I did that.
Right.
And I will.
And you'll, that will be one of your objections.
Well, except I'm not going to call a witness to testify to their 990. So I elicited my testimony from the witness that...
I understand, but do you have some... Who pulled the unredacted 990 off the website?
I did.
Right. You can make it... I don't think Ms. Hershey is going to object.
It's a public document.
Right, it's a public document. I'm going to say the board can take judicial notice.
Okay. So then can we assign a number to it tonight?
No, you're going to have an objector's exhibit.
Okay.
Your list. So in my opinion, 834 should be admitted, even though it's redacted, and you've already heard a foreshadowing of
what's to come. Yes. Yes. That qualifier is acceptable.
Yeah.
Very good. So following on that.
835
is the 2020 redacted 994 for team challenge.
And Amy, I assume you're going to do the same thing.
Same thing. Mm-hmm.
So again, 835, in my opinion, should be admitted into evidence. And you'll be, apparently, you're going to get an unredacted version, which I'm going to be advising you should take judicial notice of, meaning you could admit it without her having to produce a witness.
Sounds good.
Because it's an official government
document. Government document.
All right. 836 is the 2021 redacted 994. In this case, Adult and Teen Challenge New England and New Jersey, Inc.
Same advice applies. Be admitted.
Accepted. Unless anyone objects.
And by the way, when the chairman makes evidence rulings, if the board doesn't agree with him, someone makes a motion to reverse him, and you can reverse him on a majority vote. I don't hear anyone make any motions to reverse him.
Nope.
Nope.
837 is the 2022 not redacted 994 for Adult and Teen Challenge in England and New Jersey.
Same advice holds.
I just have a limited objection to what you're titling them. They're actually not the financial statement. It's not a complete...
What is it in fact?
So it's...
What Ms. Hirsch just said is not what the piece of... Not what the exhibit list identifies it as. The exhibit list identifies it as an excerpt from the 2019 and 2020 audit. Is that accurate? What does it say on the document?
Yeah. It just has the table of contents, which doesn't identify what it is, and then it has the independent auditor's report, which is a one-page document.
Okay, so it says financial statements. So I think that what we should call it is what he calls itself is excerpts from 2019 and 2020 financial statements. Now, can this witness identify where this came from?
You know what, Todd Sheehan had identified. I mean, he said it's the independent auditor's report, so I don't have an objection.
Okay.
It's just not a complete, document. It's just,
again, what's going to be titled is excerpt from the 2019 and 2020 financial statements, because that's what it says. And my advice is that should be admitted to that.
Yes.
And we have 839, which is a certificate from the American Marriage Ministries, William Alfonso, dated July 4, 2019.
What is that? Can I see that certificate?
It indicates that he was ordained as of that date.
That's all it says.
So the certificate says that William Alfonso is a duly ordained minister of American Marriage Ministries. Does this mean that he's ordained so he can perform marriages?
Yes.
Does he perform any marriages at Teen Challenge? Has he ever performed a marriage at Team Challenge?
Yes.
Wow. Really?
Of people that are residents or customers at Team Challenge?
No. Where's the relevance?
So hold on. So you have you have weddings there?
No. You asked if you ever got anyone married. If you ever married anyone?
Is that
Team Challenge.
Team
Challenge.
That's what I asked. Yes, he married. Yes, he did. And the reception was at Team Challenge, yeah.
So.
Yeah, what's the reason for the document?
You're looking for
this is for ordinations. But it's not an ordination. It says that he's ordained, and I just ask, is he ordained to, does that certificate ordain him in order to do marriages? The answer was yes. Does that certificate ordain him to do anything else? Well, it doesn't say so on the certificate.
No.
It's an ordination.
We've had this discussion before, and, I hate to go through it again, but there is no law in New Jersey that requires a minister to have a certification, a license, or anything like that.
Just remind me, why was that submitted to Ed? Why is that being submitted to Ed?
That's a part of the question.
Because I am going to agree
with... Why don't we keep that for RD?
Yeah, RD only, because I agree with Mr. Ryan on this one.
Yeah.
The fact that certificate is there, I think, is irrelevant to what you're trying to prove, and it just potentially raises another issue for the objectors, but that's for them. I'm keeping my mouth shut on that one.
All right.
Do you want to go back to us asking questions?
Right. With
my letter to the board, my most recent letter from the 14th,
right.
There were...
Ditto.
Yeah.
Then maybe the same.
There were a series of six COs or continuing COs that were taken from the Team Challenge files.
So hold on. So the March 14th letter...
Which those?
Enclosed 15 copies of... Four documents, A, Exhibit B, Exhibit C, Exhibit D. So which of those do you want to start with? It sounds like you want to start with Exhibit B, as in boy, because that's the one that references construction permits.
I'm sorry, I
thought you were trying to look at the I think she wanted to do the COs first.
I can't hear you.
Give me a second. Yes, Exhibit B enclosed another copy of the construction permit listing as well as six COs or continuing COs from the Team Challenge files. And I would like to see those marked as...
Exhibit A40 would be your next exhibit, but there's...
A40, like A through F, maybe, because they're all...
I'm partially confused because... In reference, it says, please note this listing was previously supplied on November 16, 2023, and is proposed to be marked as Exhibit 833.
Here's the thing. They're all attached. So the first document is Juliet's memo, dated March 4th of 2024, which I don't think should be admitted into evidence. But then the July 31st, 2023... is the letter, which is the response to the Oprah request, that was marked as 833. But then if you page through, there are then 6 COs at the end of that document. That should be A40 collectively.
Yes, that's what I was saying. A40, I'm saying A through F.
Okay, so there's 6 certificates of occupancy / certificates of continued occupancy. That's going to be Exhibit A40A through A40F. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'd like to do, yep.
Okay, any objection to those? Again,
you're taking judicial notice of that, right?
Correct. Okay. My advice is before you take judicial notice, these are township records, so they should be admitted to evidence.
Be.
You can make whatever argument you want to make based on them to the board.
Yeah, they are COs.
Yeah, okay.
at 840A to 840S.
Sometimes.
At the last meeting, there was a discussion of something that was in the Fox account, which is the application for zoning permit, which is dated June 3, 2014, and then city zoning officer Joseph Rossi, and also the date of June 26, 2014, and a stamp approved. I would like that marked as 841.
Which one?
Show me which ones you're talking about.
That's the app. It says at the top, application for zoning permit.
Give her a copy and give me a copy. That's right from the box. That's what I sent you from the box account.
Yes.
And then it's 842, which would be the zoning permit itself. I don't know.
Can you also bring me 842?
I got it, Lucy. No, I got it. Thank you.
The application for the zoning permit is dated June 3, 2014. However, Mr. Rossi signed it on two different dates. The first signature is on June 3, 2014, but the second date is June 26, 2014, correct, on the application?
Right. I don't know what the date signified, but at any rate, I'd like A42 to be the zoning permit itself out of your box.
And A42 is a zoning permit that he issued on dated June 26, correct? Hold on.
Yep.
And again, 841 and 842, my advice is for you to take judicial notice and admit them as evidence.
Yes.
And there's no objection based on judicial notice, correct?
Based on judicial notice, right?
And then the next two documents are going to be identified by Joe Rand, and then we can mark them after his testimony.
All right, that's a good idea.
And that'll take me through everything in my April 14 letter. So.
Yes, yeah, so I'd like to pick up with Mr. Rand to get 843 and 844 in, and then we can get back to the cross examination.
We'll do board questions before we go back over on the documents right here.
So, I don't know what exhibit it was with my letter, but we submitted a December 8, 2023 email from Shannon Blankenship of TeamChallengeUSA.org to Joe Rand and other people at Team Challenge. Mr. Rand, could you tell us, please, what that email is?
Nice and loud. And this presumably is going to be 843, is that correct?
It should be 843.
Yeah, so this is a document stating that why there was a question about why there was still items needed, but New Jersey was getting approval. And so I was answering that question of basically that as someone in the executive leadership team, I'm being informed that even though New Jersey's passed, there are still documents that are waiting for these other. Yep. Here are the documents.
Do me a favor, pull that microphone closer to you.
Anger.
Yeah. Talk slowly and loudly and enunciate your words.
This was in response to the question in regards to why the relationship was letting us know that New Jersey has passed as all the documents in for accreditation, but there was still, in her email, there was still comments about we still need the rest of the documents. And this email shows that she was referring to the other centers in New England and New Jersey
but New England specifically, that still had documents that were outstanding in order to complete their accreditation. And I'm in that email as one of the three executives, one of the three in the executive leadership team. So the other individuals are executives as well.
So I don't know if the board remembers, but that question was asked by one of the board members. Ms. Moran looked at his phone and said, I have an email here showing that it was items that were missing for other centers, and that is the email. So if you can mark that as A43.
Yep. And unless there's an objection, that's his explanation of that email, and he was a party to that email. So unless there's an objection, in my opinion, the board should admit that one as evidence.
No, I'm sorry. I just it just occurred to me that you marked A26, which I'm fine with, but you had made a change. To A26, that's the 2023 safety and security protocols, and you crossed out the word and you added the word or on the third bullet point based on the testimony, and I just want to make sure that the copy that gets sent to the board has your the agreed upon change. All of the parties agreed.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, just making sure.
It does change the title, but there is another change. So it should be safety or...
No. It's the third bullet point. It should be
the
campus is monitored 24/7 by staff or security cameras.
Is that what that one says? Wait, let me say that. Good pick.
Yes.
This is a schedule for a current resident who is in the vocational training, the carpentry vocational training, as indicated, the carpenter shop slots.
And is this labeled A44?
This is going to be admitted as A44, and this is Exhibit D to her March 14th letter. It's the last page.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I know the exhibits, that's all. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, because this is a specific resident, it has, you know, the times that he's going to different groups or when he's receiving vocational training, GED, tutoring, clinical counseling, those kind of things are more specific in his schedule.
Do we have that
marked
as A44, please?
Yeah, and unless there's an objection, my opinion, A44 should be entered as an exhibit.
Okay.
That's my advice.
Yeah.
And blessedly,
okay. We've got a couple of board members with questions on what you just went through.
Yeah.
I have a full set here, so that might help you.
Yeah. Why don't you put the full set to the board secretary right now?
And then I have questions about 844, the current residence schedule. Based on my tally, and correct me if I'm wrong on this before we begin even just discussing the substance, but I tallied up that about 10 hours per week were being spent on academics 12 and a half hours on prayer and 22 and one quarter hours at the carpenter shop. Is that accurate?
I don't have a tally. I can tell you.
Does that seem about accurate?
Yeah, it seems about accurate. Yeah. I don't know if you include the things like group studies and GED, but for our accreditation standards, it's 20 hours of spiritual development, which includes group studies, it includes prayer, includes chapels, academics.
So is group studies prayer, or is group studies academic?
Well, they're all grouped into spiritual development, whether it's personal devotion time, whether it's prayer time, whether that's personal or corporate.
So the entire premise is that you're a parachurch ministry, is that the term?
But yes.
We're including things like GED study as part of religious study?
No. Or,
so I guess that's, when I said that I tallied up the, I said academics at 10 and prayer and other prayer-related activities at about 12 and a half hours.
Yeah, I think that's why I said I don't know if you counted those things. I don't know what you counted and what you didn't count. But for us, it's devotions would be in there,
yeah.
Prayer would be in there. So unless you want to give me a minute, I'll count it out. But
well, adding devotions in would put about, let's do round numbers, about 15 hours at prayer, 10 hours at academics, and I'm going to round up 24 hours at shop. Does that sound right? A week.
I don't know how to.
Is this what you presented here? Is a residence schedule. Would you view this residence schedule as being typical or average?
Yes.
And I guess without you spending time tallying, if we told you that those were the numbers, would that surprise you?
No.
I'm just a little bit confused on the response. Typical or average, the response is yes.
Meaning typical versus not typical, average versus...
It's representative of anyone who's going through the program.
The reason I can't answer, the reason I'm like pausing with my answer is that I'm following what our accreditation standards are, which our standards in New England and New Jersey are greater than the standards, but you know, that's okay, as long as we fall within the standards of Teen Challenge USA.
But even if this isn't perfect, the numbers that we add up, maybe we're off by half an hour.
Yeah.
It's representative of a typical person. Right now, I think last time we were here, we had 30 to 34 residents. I don't know if it's 30 or 34. But if the people that are there, all 34 of them, would have roughly this schedule with minor deviations.
Yes.
I guess, can you help us reconcile that with prior statements from Todd and I think from you as well, but certainly Todd, indicating that things like the carpentry shop were no more than a de minimis part of the activity and that the substantial activity was religious in nature.
I don't think I testified to that. What I testified to is our standard is under 30 hours a week of vocational training.
Was Todd incorrect when he stated that?
Well, I think it's a part of what we do. It's not what we do, it's a part of what we do.
But one of us asked if it was a de minimis activity, and he said yes. I don't have the transcript in front of me, but I believe he said that it was, sorry, I don't have the transcript in front of me, but I believe the wording he used was that it was insubstantial.
I guess,
do you disagree with that?
That is insubstantial?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a part of what we do. It's an important part of what we do. It's not only vocational training, but it's representative of a the normal week in recovery.
And so, you know, we're not, you know, we do want to fill them up with, you know, which I think, you know, 20-plus hours of spiritual development time, of time in prayer and Bible reading, you know, discipleship courses, classes, chapels, church services, you know, it's not hour for hour, but it's what it does. You can only load up so much in the brain at the time.
But based on our tally that we're presenting to you, it seems like the amount of time spent in the carpenter shop is double that that's being spent on either academics or prayer alone.
You're separating the two. We don't separate the two.
But I asked you if you're including things like the GED as part of spiritual.
No, I don't.
So when I'm saying academics, I'm talking about things like the GED and stuff like that.
So GED and academics are different.
So what are you calling academics?
Academics is our, I've testified to this, that we have a growth plan that's personally developed. It's customized for the individual. It's a 30-day growth plan. It includes Bible reading, it includes scripture memorization, it includes, you know, reading a book and reporting on it, you know, spiritual development book, personal development book. So our academics is spiritual development.
Okay. I mean, so would you agree that it is fair to say that you spend about equal amount of time then on the spiritual portion and on the vocational portion? About equal. I'm not asking for an exact tally. I mean, the reason I'm asking that is because you're saying...
You don't have to say the reason. You have a pending question that I'm answering.
Right, but can you answer it by spending a little time doing the tally
himself? Let him do the tally himself. They already asked him. Is that typically said yes?
Why don't we take 5 minutes and have you go over that?
Sure.
Because it is kind of a sticking point for us.
Okay.
We'll take just a 5 minute break and we'll reconvene.
Did you go through 844, the current residence?
Guys, got testimony going on, please.
Do some calculations and could you please provide
the information
to the board?
So based on my, you know, quick calculations using this schedule, I came up with 35.5 development hours, spiritual development hours, and 22 vocational training hours.
Can you tell us what criteria on the schedule you included in that 35 and a half hours?
Sure. Prayer, academic.
I'll go slow now.
Yep.
The 35.5 hours, you said, is spiritual what?
Development.
Spiritual development, which consists of what?
Prayer, academics.
Prayer, academics.
Chapel. Clinical counseling. Yep. Personal devotions. Yep. Optional prayer. Celebrate recovery. Mentoring. Men's prayer. Church. I don't think I'm missing anything else.
Yeah. Okay. Given that you just added them up, do you know how many hours are spent on each one?
No, I didn't do that.
Good. If you didn't do that, how do you know it's 35.5 hours?
Well, I just calculated them down at the bottom. Okay, how much is in each day? I didn't take like each category. You mean like how much in chapel, how much in prayer?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
No, that's fine.
Can you tell me per day? You're saying you ran it down per day?
Yeah, it's heavier at the beginning of the week because there's extra chapels in the morning. So that was like 7.5, 8.5, and then it drops down
Then you talk, do you have it per day?
Yeah, 7.5, 8.5.
Whoa. Sorry. Okay. So, I'm going to make a chart. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so you're going to give the hours for spiritual development and the hours for vocational. Is that correct? Or just, yes, or just spiritual?
He just asked about spiritual development.
Okay.
Just spiritual development.
He's going to give the number of hours per day for spiritual development. So Monday is how many hours?
7.5.
Tuesday is how many hours?
8.5.
Wednesday?
4.5.
Thursday?
5.
Friday?
4.
Saturday?
2.5.
Sunday?
3.5.
So when you add those up, you get to 35.5. Is
yes.
that correct?
Yes.
Can you, I know some of these things have already been discussed, but just so that we have it all fresh while we're discussing this now, can you remind us what clinical counseling specifically is?
Clinical counseling is, it's with a Christian counselor, clinician.
And what sort of counseling? It's religious counseling? It's personal counseling?
Yeah, it's personal counseling for, you know, for whatever it is that they want to talk about. We include it because it's with a Christian counselor. So they're going to use scripture in that counseling.
Yeah, I wouldn't somebody argue with this. Okay.
No.
Other questions?
I mean, this is, yeah, you know, like I said, this is what we do. It's, we're a Christian organization. So,
How long is that counselor there a week? The professional counselor.
Yeah, yep. I want to say that it's around 20 hours, but I'm not.
Give or take 20 hours a week.
Yeah.
Each person gets how many hours a day?
Each person is scheduled for 1 hour, but it's on rotation, so it wouldn't be. It might be. It depends on the person, but yeah, if there's 20 hours and more guys than that, then not everybody will be seen in the same week.
Your schedule is showing 2 hours for clinical counseling.
I marked that down as one for this individual, but I probably should have marked it. I think it's wrong, but I do know that the other hours he would be back in the academic center, so actually I'm probably off by an hour. It's probably 36 and a half. But I didn't put it down credit for it because it was sort of down as a 2 hour clinical session.
Okay. All right.
Other questions?
Nope.
Good. Mm-hmm. Floor is yours.
Okay. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. I do have one additional. Can we take a step back for a second to your testimony from about 15 minutes ago? We talked about performing weddings on the venue.
Mm-hmm.
How many times has that happened?
I believe it was just once. I can't testify directly to it, but there was a. I believe they. I don't exactly know. I just, you know. It was before I got here.
You heard that there was a wedding?
Well, I know that. I know from Pastor Willie stating that, you know, that he performed the wedding for a former staff person.
Okay. For a former staff person.
I just make a statement on this so that I understand the board's concern. The Team Challenge is not looking for permission to have weddings on the site.
No.
If that occurred in the past, they would not be looking to have that kind of thing in the future.
Okay.
The ceremony of that, and I'm not trying to avoid, you know, the bigger issue, like baptisms, you know, any of the things that ordinarily you would think of as large gatherings are not part of the question.
You're not a wedding destination.
And of course, you would expect, you know, if there was an approval, that would be a condition.
Okay.
And that is absolutely right. We don't as a parachurch ministry, when I got to New Jersey, I made it clear that we don't perform the sacramental functions of a church. We're not looking to do those functions. That's for the church to do, and we come alongside. So even if our guys are going to get baptized, when they, you know, we're going to align that with the local church that, and go there and let that pastor do it. And I let Pastor Willie know that the best way to move forward with is that a former staff person should be going to their home church, their home pastor. And it's not something that I know friends do it all the time, and, you know, coworkers and that sort of thing.
You go out to the VFW hall and pass the
word if
they want.
Yeah, but
on the site.
That buttons it up.
Yeah, I mean, given that you're saying that there'd be a condition, I have no more questions.
Okay. So here, another question over here.
No.
Now the floor is yours.
Thank you. So, Mr. Rand, you testified a few seconds ago when we were talking about, I guess, what we've marked as A44, that the workshop or the carpenter shop is an important part of what Team Challenge does. It's a normal week of recovery, and it's vocational training. That was your testimony, right?
Yes.
Okay, so then directing your attention back to A31, which is labeled as a general daily schedule, how come there's no mention of the carpenter shop at all on the general daily schedule?
Because not everyone works, not everyone goes to the carpenter shop for their vocational training.
Right, but your testimony was it's a big part of what we do, it's an important part of what we do, it's a normal week of recovery.
Yeah.
And not only is there no mention on A31 of the carpenter shop, there's no mention of any vocational training.
Yeah, excuse me, let me clarify. If I stated that the carpenter shop was an important part, what I meant was vocational training is an important part. There's no vocational training listed because the vocational training, it breaks everybody apart. So this is a general schedule that's followed, you know, when somebody's not in vocational training.
But you testified that vocational training is a requirement of the program. It's in the admissions packet, and it's also in the accreditation standards.
Yes, but certainly not when people first come in. Do we go right into vocational training? There's other things that are more important, getting them settled and stable.
So when in the 12-month program, which at one point was 18 months, now it's 12 months, at what point in the 12-month program does vocational training start?
Usually 2 to 4 weeks, depending on the individual.
2 to 4 weeks into the program?
Yeah.
And so this general daily schedule is only pertaining to the 2 to 4 weeks at the beginning of someone's start at the program?
Yes, or for somebody would follow this if they weren't doing vocational training at all.
But again, your testimony was vocational training is mandatory. It's in the accreditation standards. It's mandatory. So who would not be doing vocational training?
So it could be somebody who just got back from the past, or, you know, their family. It could be somebody who, there was an area of focus. Maybe they, you know, displayed some sort of character trait that we wanted to focus in on and do some more focused time with their mentor or a designated staff person. Maybe spend some time in the academic center. So I think it's important to have it because you need to know where the staff need to know where the general, you know, where everything's going to be generally lined up. And then for specific individuals that might be assigned a vocational training area for that week, so they know, okay, if I'm going to do vocational training this week, these are the designated times for.
How many of the people you have, of the customers or residents that are there, how many don't do vocational training? What percentage?
Yeah. Again, are you mean in a day? Because
no. I'm talking about you just said
yeah
that some people don't do vocational training.
Yeah, but I don't mean for like an extended period of time. I'm saying for a day or 2 days or 3 days.
I thought you said 2 to 4 weeks into the summer, additional training starts. And then my understanding of what you just said was, although some people don't do any vocational training. So I misunderstood you?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
So what did...
Okay.
So everyone there does vocational training. All of your residents or customers do vocational training at some point during their 12 months, correct?
Yes.
So the general schedule is only for the first 2 to 4 weeks of the program?
Or if somebody's not in vocational training for that particular day or week or whatever it might be.
Would have been nice if you realized if you had told them that that's what this general schedule was for when you thought about it.
Yeah. I mean, I tried to explain that.
And you didn't do such a good job.
All right. So
it's not an easy job to explain the program to people who never don't know it.
You also said just said that not everyone that's doing vocational training is doing the carpenter shop.
Yeah.
How many people or what percent, however you want to answer, people are doing a vocational training other than the carpenter shop? Or number of people? I mean, you don't have to do math.
Yeah, I think the shop is generally, we can only do training for generally like, I'd say 8 to 12 at a time, probably.
No, he means of all the residents or customers that are on the site in the 12 months, either 1% are doing the carpenter shop as their vocational training, or what percentage are not doing that? They're doing something else for vocational training. That's what he wants.
Okay.
That's what I want.
At one time.
No. Over the whole period.
12 months?
Yeah.
Oh, everybody will do it. Yeah.
Everybody will do carpenter shop. I you said before that you have some other kind of vocational training for some people who don't do the carpenter.
But when you complete that, when you complete one area, then you move to another area.
So do you cycle everyone through all of the vocations?
I mean, ideally, but if there's someone who, for whatever reason, you know, can't or, you know, it's just not a good match or a good fit.
So is this a fair statement that 100% of the people that go through your program, this is a standard schedule? However, when you start off your first 2 to 3 weeks, there's an accommodation that we involve you with to get to know the program, and throughout the other 11 months, there may be a time when you're ill and you're not in the program, there may be a time something happened in your family and you're out, but excluding the one-offs, everyone goes through this program.
Yes.
Okay. Your question.
No, that's fine. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're good.
No,
it's not hard to understand.
You're ignoring me today. Sorry, Dan. What are the other What are the other vocations that you've been mentioning? You said there's other vocations. What are those?
Yeah. So there's culinary, there's landscaping, there's I think what we call administration or computer literacy or you know that sort of topic. There's hospitality.
What would that be?
Hospitality is like. It's a shorter one. I actually don't think I can answer it right now. I'm not really 100% sure what any it covers. It's a smaller piece of
The hospitality is different than culinary?
Yeah.
Hospitality could be like cleaning rooms.
Yeah, like
housekeeping.
Oh yeah, yeah. I thought you meant like the syllabus. Yeah, it's like it could be like housekeeping. It could be, you know. You know, we try to pick areas that translate into the workforce, but also translate, like, even if you don't go into that particular area or trade, it's a useful skill, things that people need to learn. So, you know, with culinary, you may never work in a kitchen or a restaurant, but you're going to eat. You're going to feed yourself. You're going
to
feed your family.
You have to make your bed.
Yeah, you make beds. You go to, you know, laundry, whatever area that might cover. Same thing with even carpentry. I mean, you may never work and, you know, be a carpenter, but most homeowners at some point have to pick up a hammer and a screw gun and fix something or try to be knowledgeable in that. So
Maybe not everybody.
Me, yes, I know a lot of people know.
I'm one of the people that's better at breaking things and fixing it, but it's still.
So, is there anything else other than ask after hospitality?
No. Okay.
So, and does this replace, so like over a 12-month period, let's say 80% is carpentry, but then these would be in that same time slot in the generals?
It may not be the exact same time slot, but it's the same.
But it's the same amount of time?
Yeah.
Okay.
How many?
So, just to clarify, so the carpentry is taking this schedule, okay?
Yeah.
So the carpentry would be in the same spot, and let's say that's 80% of the 12 months. And then the culinary would be in the same spot, right? This wouldn't be as, but it would be after they're finished carpentry.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay, and then landscaping would be in that same spot, but it wouldn't be, you know, it wouldn't be with when they're doing carpentry or culinary.
It also wouldn't be in the dead of winter.
That's true.
Well, there's always things to do on the property for.
Okay.
Sorry about the interruption. Yes.
No, that's fine. So these other locations, you know, you testified about, you know, you have a master craftsman and that's who works in the wood shop. And they're on the, you know, I don't know the exhibit number off the top of my head, but there was an org chart and you had someone in the wood shop and then you had like a staff person in the wood shop. So who are the people that are teaching these other vocations like culinary and landscaping, computer literacy, hospitality? Like they weren't on that org chart.
Yeah, they're staff members in, you know, they're doing other jobs and doing the training.
But I think the board had specifically asked the question if anyone on the org chart had multiple roles, and you said no, they were, you know, this is their role.
It is their role. It's what they do. It's hands-on training and teaching. So they're performing their role while teaching.
And so who's performing the culinary vocational training?
It would be whichever staff member is assigned to work in the kitchen.
And the landscaping?
Somebody on our construction staff.
And the computer literacy?
I think that's more of a rotation. I don't think it's one specific person.
And the hospitality or housekeeping, who would be teaching that vocation?
It's the same thing. I think it's on rotation. It's one of our staff people.
Okay. And so these are just people that are working at Team Challenge, and then they're being asked to teach these skills. They don't have any particular teaching certificates or training or anything like that.
No teaching certificates, no. Just experience.
And does every single resident cycle through every single vocation for the training?
It could be, but not necessarily.
Well, how do you determine that?
Again, if there's a reason why, you know, if there was like a mobility issue or something like that, then we would put somebody in a compromising.
So how many right now, how many residents are there?
I believe current ones. There are 29.
And of the 29 residents, do any of them have mobility issues?
No.
And so of the 29, have all of them worked in the workshop? Woodshop?
No. Well, no, probably not yet. I don't know for sure, but most likely not yet.
Because all 29 are new residents?
Yeah, there are different phases of the program.
But you said it's only the first 2 to 4 weeks that there's no vocational training. So how many, how, of the 29, how many are in the first 2 to 4 years?
I'm going to say, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm going to say that there's probably I'd just be guessing if you want to answer. I don't know. I mean,
don't guess.
Better
not.
Okay.
I find it concerning that there have been several questions about total occupancy at any particular points in time. Several questions that were asked the last couple minutes around how many people are on site right now. And you picked up your device to be able to ascertain that. As a director, I would think, as a director of this facility, you should know that at any given point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an observation. Okay.
Yes, I have that information, and I can know that information at any given time. But I guess I've become accustomed to technology and not necessarily remembering that piece of information, but I understand what you're saying, and probably if I were more involved in the day-to-day, then that would be quicker, but
I can appreciate that, and I'm not going to get into pedantics and that report, but the as a representative for the organization, during these discussions, it's important that you're able to articulate and represent the current status of what's going on at that site at any point in time. And the board, the community at large here, needs to be able to rely on your testimony to be able to represent that off the top, period, end of story. And if we can't, then it diminishes our confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I'll leave it at that. Okay?
Thank you,
sir. I do want to know, when was the last time you visited the site, and how long were you there?
Well, I'm there today, so I was there today.
For how long? Just today?
Well, no, I came in today, and I'm staying Tuesday, Wednesday.
But prior to today, when and how long?
I also came Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of the last zoning board meeting.
Of the last zoning board meeting.
So it's been approximately a month?
Yeah.
And you can't answer how many people have left and how many new people have come in,
I mean,
between when you were there last and when you were there today?
I mean, yes, I can, but, if I pull the document. And I understand what you're saying, Mr. Ryan. I should bring those documents with me and have them in front of me, and bring my laptop and have it in front of me. But I just don't necessarily expect, even after all these meetings that I've been and sat in this chair, it's still kind of a little bit like bewilders me a little bit that I'm teaching people about what Teen Challenge is and what we do. It's still I still don't necessarily understand that aspect. Like, I get it, you're trying to vet, that we're a solid organization, and we have 60 years of proof of that. But I just, sometimes these questions just kind of take me off a little bit.
Why don't we just continue with questions of the effective attorney?
Okay, so if we were going to quantify, the activity in the wood shop, about how many pieces are manufactured per day, only in Clinton Township.
It's a hard answer to give. I don't know if you'll accept more like weekly.
Okay, we can do weekly.
Okay. And the reason for that is, as you can imagine, if you're gluing boards together, then you're planing them, and you're sanding them, you may not start and finish a board in the same day.
Go with weekly.
Yeah, weekly. So I'd say probably about 250.
Does Teen Challenge accept people that are not Christian?
Yeah.
And are there any religious denominations that are turned away from the program?
No, as long as there's an openness and a willingness to follow along with the schedule and be respectful, and you know what you're signing on for, so you know you'll be sitting in chapels and participating in prayers and be given Bible projects. So
it has to be a willingness to follow the program, which is a discipleship, as you've testified many times, but they don't personally have to observe that sort of religious affection.
No.
And what if a person is an atheist, has life-controlling issues, but is an atheist? Are they able to participate in the program?
Yeah.
And how do you reconcile a program that's based on a ministry and a discipleship with a person who is an atheist and doesn't believe in religion?
Yeah, there's only one truth, and it's the Word of God. It's Jesus Christ. And so all we're going to do is present the truth. And we're going to let that truth penetrate their hearts. And that's not our work to do that, but we believe that the Lord, through the work of the Holy Spirit, will work on their hearts. So we just continually present the truth. And through the structure of our program, which they know where they're at and why they're coming there, and that choice is theirs to make.
Do you make exceptions? For example, an atheist who does not want to participate in any of the discipleship activities. What do they do during those hours?
If you're coming to Teen Challenge, you're choosing to come. It's not, we're not making you. You're not stuck. If you're choosing to come to Teen Challenge, one of the things you're agreeing to is that you're going to follow along with the schedule as it's presented. With the schedule, with the format.
Even like presented, that's what you said, right?
Yes.
And you drop off at the end.
Sorry.
So do you modify the program? Are anyone that's like an atheist, let's say, do you modify the memorization of the scriptures? Do you modify any aspects of the program?
No. Memorization of scripture is a great method for somebody to understand. You know, as you memorize it, you understand the meaning behind it. So, no, absolutely not.
Do the residents receive mail at Teen Challenge?
Yes.
And do they vote? Like if there's an election while they're enrolled in the program, do they vote?
Yeah, it's made possible for them.
And so they would use Teen Challenge as their home address during the time they're there?
Yes. I've never been in New Jersey during a voting cycle. Yeah.
Your attorney previously marked A9, which are the Adult and Teen Challenge accreditation standards.
Largest one.
So I'm going to direct your attention to page 3, not the Roman numerals, but the actual page number 3. And it's under indicator 1.4. And it says, the affiliate protects and fulfills its purpose as a Christian.
You're
going to
go slower and louder.
Sorry. The affiliate protects and fulfills its purpose as a Christian discipleship training program. Do you see those words?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Are you asking just the first sentence?
I'm asking you, what is a Christian discipleship training program?
So, we are, I'm trying to think of the best way to answer this. We are a residential Christian program that believes in the power of God to break every chain of addiction and hopelessness and despair. And so we present ourselves as an alternative option for someone to come in and be trained up in the Christian beliefs and the Word of God. Does that answer your question?
I mean, not really. I guess I'm trying to figure out, there's no mention of life-controlling issues. There's no mention of that in the accreditation standards. It talks about the purpose being a Christian discipleship training program.
Okay, I got you. Now I understand the question. So it's in regards to the evidence that's shown under this paragraph. So I think you, in order to read the first sentence, you have to read the second sentence as well.
Okay.
As it kind of explains it further, why it's referring to that. You know, conducting evangelism within the local community and discipling students within the program. So
okay.
It's basically stating that the program student schedule has to show evidence of Christian discipleship in the program.
But again, no mention of life-controlling issues or addiction or treatment on that level.
No, okay. I'm sure it's in the standards manual, but not.
Before you go on to that, what does it mean to conduct outreach evangelism within the local community?
Yeah, so Adult and Teen Challenge periodically will either join with the church or conduct their own outreach into the community.
And what kind of outreach?
So it could be like, I'm not saying New Jersey's taking part, but it could be something like, giving away backpacks around the school year. It could be attending an event where we are, providing information on recovery, giving hope to, people struggling or family members that have someone struggling. Could be like a drop-in center where there's, other nonprofits giving away, information. It could be any of those things.
More examples.
Mm-hmm. Under evidence, you have a community outreach schedule in Clinton Township?
We typically go out into the community and set up a storefront. And we give out information on Adult and Teen Challenge. It's usually like Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
And are you also selling the board and
yep.
those things?
Yes.
Can you give an example of a store?
We'll set up at a lot of like farmers markets and places like that. But we've also set up in front of Shaw's or Starbucks or.
So you get the permission to do that?
Of course, yeah, of course.
Do you have an example of a specific location in Clinton Township?
No, I can certainly.
Are there, are the boards, are there any communities services that are provided in any other venue within the Clinton Township community that you're aware of?
So to answer the question...
There's two parts. I get that.
Yeah.
Right.
Krausers and Clinton typically partners with us. The relationship with them. And then our partnership with the churches, I think it's, the church is, does a ton of outreach, and we usually work directly with them. Evangel and Clinton, the Evangel location. So that's where we do a lot of our community service, outreach, assist with, usually with whatever they have going on, whether it's the Easter boxes they're giving away, or you know, whatever it is that we can join in with.
Now, is this something that your facility has done since it has come into Clinton Township?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And it hasn't increased or decreased? This has been, when you first came in, this is part of the whole package?
Yes.
Okay. But when you're consulting your phone to look up things like Krausers and stuff like that, what document are you referring to?
I went to the Google Calendar, and I searched Clinton, and it, you know, showed up the dates and that we either have been to Krausers or are going to go to Krausers.
But do you have any direct knowledge of that, or only as from the calendar?
Well, I do. I have weekly meetings, but...
So you're familiar with it, you just didn't remember the name, and you say you referenced
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I can see. So whether you call it the work therapy program or the vocational training, none of the residents receive payment for the work that they do, correct?
There, wherever you are, off premises. Who is running this program when you're not there, overseeing everything is followed? If you're not there overseeing it, who is?
Yeah, we have, as stated in our, what do we call it? Chain of command. Assistant director. We have an assistant director.
Is he there every day?
Every day, yep.
Okay. So if you're not there, the assistant director should be able to answer every one of these questions.
He can answer, I can promise you, he can answer every one of these questions without, because he's much more involved in the day-to-day. You know, whereas my focus was on training staff and making sure policies are in place and people understand them. And that's been my first focus.
Is that a new role?
What's that?
The assistant director.
No, well, it's new, and we have three layers or four layers of director, and that's not new. We have assistant director, associate director, director, and senior director. And so I've held all four roles. That's typical of, of somebody to move up the chain.
Okay, given that the line of questioning has been going on for several months now, why isn't he or she here?
Yeah. He is here.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Terrific.
He's been here for the previous...
Okay.
Or...
So he can offer answers to the questions that...
He knows. I can promise you he's probably itching in his seat because every time you ask me, I'm sure...
I encourage you to come up here.
No, that's not me.
Let us stay with Ms. Sandra Maria to finish her questions.
Are there recreational facilities at the property?
Yes.
What are they?
There's a gym for working out, weights and cardio machines.
What building is the gym in?
It's a shed. It's one of the sheds. And then there's a large outdoor basketball court, full-size court, that's covered.
And how come on those schedules there's no recreation, nothing set aside for that?
Well, it's listed as free time.
What is the ratio of staff to residents? And I know we've had this conversation, but I still don't know that I'm clear on the ratio of staff to residents.
Yeah. If you don't mind, I can refer it back to what we submitted.
9 o'clock? Just as we're going to take a break at 9 o'clock.
Just to clarify what you're asking on staff, are you referring to volunteers as well?
No, I was talking about staff, but if you want to tell me staff and volunteers to residents, that's fine.
Okay. So there's about, it's essentially 2-1, two residents to a staff.
And that could be a staff member or that could be a volunteer. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
And do you group apprentices in the staff volunteer category?
I group them in the resident category.
Okay. Is the program approved as an alternative to incarceration, like through the court system?
Residents can, that are going through the court system, they can petition the judge to stipulate them to come into the program. I don't think we've ever gone through the process of being approved for the parole in the state of New Jersey. But you can petition, and if you're going through the court system and you're going to court and you come to and do an interview with each challenge and pass the initial background check, you should be accepted, prior to the judge making the decision.
But you've never done that in Clinton Township, to your knowledge?
You've done that in Clinton Township since I've been there? No.
How many people have left the Clinton site in the last year?
When you say left, do you mean graduated and left, or before graduate?
I thank you for clarifying. I mean left before they graduated.
Not both.
The director is working on his phone. I'm wondering if he's texting.
If you'll accept 1-1-12-31,
was he texting?
54.
That's 2003 is the year that you're talking about?
Yes.
And you said 54?
5-4.
And were the police called every time to escort each of those 54 people off the property?
No.
But you did testify that that's a safety mechanism and that the police are called to make sure that they're safely escorted off the property.
If they refuse to ride from us.
So you believe that all 54 people in 2023, you escorted, adult and teen challenge escorted off the property?
I can't testify to that prior to my arrival. I can testify that when I arrived, I made that very, very clear.
Was your assistant director texting you that information, the number 54 for the year 2023?
No.
What's the by the way, do you have like a log or a book where you record how a person exits the program, like whether they take adult and teen challenge transportation or whether the police escorts them or helicopter or some other way?
Yeah, I think there's probably multiple channels that's recorded on. There's, there's shift notes. There's
what is that called?
Shift notes.
What is that?
So just the daily notes of of the shift of where of movements from that day of what's anything.
And every employee has to keep a shift note.
Just the employee in charge of direct care running shifts.
Just an employee what?
An indirect care.
And so that would be recorded maybe in the shift notes. Anything, any other place where it would be
so
recorded?
We have what's called SoberPeer, and it's a AI technology.
SoberPeer?
SoberPeer. It's an AI technology slash resident management software. And so it's state of the art. We partnered with SoberPeer a few years ago, and so it goes from entrance of recording an application, and then there's surveys that are created, generated by AI technology that's tracking. The creator of SoberPeer was the creator of the credit score, and so he came up with the idea of creating a recovery score. And that's allowed us to track progress through the program. AI also, based on the answers, will spit out a generated response stating, you know, how someone's doing, which allows the staff person to go on and agree or disagree. So if they're, you know, not being 100% honest, or if they've just been missing something, you know, we might disagree or agree, and it just tracks their progress. So those scores are being tracked through the program.
So then you would be able to provide a report of how all 54 people left Teen Challenge in 2023 based on that technology.
It's more general categories, but yes. Discharged or left without family's cooperation, left with family's cooperation.
And how they left, whether it was adult and teen challenge transportation, whether it was a police escort, right?
Yeah. No, probably wouldn't report if it was. That's not a category, but it would be with family's permission or without.
I just recall Todd's testimony was that, as for safety for the community, if someone was leaving the program, not completing the program, but leaving the program, it was important that they, they were removed from the situation, not left to wander, not left to be trespassing on other people's property. And Todd said that the police would be called for that purpose. You're saying no, that doesn't happen.
No, I said it does.
It does happen, unless you provide transportation.
Yeah. We do everything we can to provide the transportation to get them to, you know, to let us drive them to wherever they need to go, whether they need to catch a bus or a train, whether they, you know, whether they're waiting for a family to pick them up or come out of state, or we'll give them a ride to a safe location outside of anything.
And of the 54, were any of the 54 just like a walkaway? Like they didn't say, hey, listen, I'm not happy here, I want to leave. They didn't tell you they just left. Any of the 54 in that category?
Again, I can't answer that.
But you have this AI technology, so you could, in theory.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You could correlate that technology with the shift notes, right, in order to compile a report of how people left?
Yeah, to see what's their discharge date and pull the shift notes from that date. Yeah.
Okay.
Is there a consequence?
Yeah. Is that something that you're willing to produce for us?
Yeah.
Let's be specific.
The shift notes, is it just information about
how
the 54 left?
The latter.
How left? Walked away, or transported by TC, or
yes. And whether the police were called for each one. Definitely no names.
And you're saying you can do this with a combination of using the SoberPeer, and the
shift notes. Yeah.
Would it always be a combination of the shift notes and the SoberPeer information, or
the SoberPeer? Yeah,
peer.
SoberPeer.
Like your peers?
Not P-I-E-R and not P-H-E-R-E.
It was developed and being developed to have an app companion with it, so that residents, when they leave, they have an app companion to continue with on the company. It's not still working on the development, but that's the idea of it, to follow them outside of the program.
Okay.
So can you include the source when you provide, you know, how
yeah.
you left?
All I'll do is look at the discharge date in the student resident management system, see when their discharge date was,
mm-hmm.
and then go to the shift notes to.
Okay, so it's primarily going to be the shift notes
that are
going to tell you the answer.
Yeah, the sober peer will give me general categories like, you know, left with consent or without consent or whatever, that kind of thing. They'll be very general, though. So there'll be some maybe that I don't have to look up, but for the most part, I believe I'll have to. And there's the ability to make a note on sober peer while you're discharging, having putting a discharge note. So if somebody used that, you know, but it's not going to.
I'll just check both.
Yeah, because right. most likely they're not going to use that note if it was an uneventful.
Check both.
Thank
you. A quick question. What is the average age of these people? 17, 15 to 90, like seniors, about?
Yeah. There's a real gap. There's people that will come in that are like 18 to 25. We don't take anyone under 18. And then there's like a gap from like 25 to like 45 of people that aren't looking for help. And then it's 45 to 60. That's been my experience, and typically you can follow that with, you know, drug related and alcohol related as well, and you kind of see the younger guys come in, you know, with the opiate epidemic and the way it's ripping through, you know, every state, you know, people are coming in younger.
So I just want to wrap this up. If a resident walks away from the property, so doesn't let you know, but just leaves, walks away,
yeah.
What do you do? Do you contact the police to let them know that person has walked away?
We'll go, if we know that they just walked, we'll go get them and pick them up, put them in the car, and take them. But if we don't know
like
where they are.
Like kidnapping?
Take them where?
Wherever they need to go.
Okay, but let's say they walked away for a reason and they didn't want to deal with you.
Yeah.
So then, do you notify the police?
Yeah.
Okay. And are you aware presently of instances where the police are visiting neighboring properties looking for Teen Challenge residents who have walked away?
No, to my knowledge, there's been no instances where we had to call the police for some reason.
Well, I didn't say you called the police. I said, are you aware that the police in the last 2 months have been visiting neighboring properties looking for residents that have walked away?
No.
But your assistant director might be aware of that, right?
I mean, yeah.
What's the consequence if a resident, during his free time, leaves the specified boundaries of the Teen Challenge property?
It's considered leaving the program, and you're discharged from the program.
But that's only if you know that they walked away. So if the police were to call you and they were to say, we found Johnny on so-and-so's property, then you would discharge him from the program?
Yes.
And then make arrangements to get him off the property?
Yes.
What if a resident damages someone else's property, again, during free time, happens on someone else's property, damages their property. What's the consequence for that?
You're saying that they left the premises, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they would be discharged.
So even if they left and came back, let's say they left during their free time, destroyed someone's property, came back, they would still be discharged?
I would discharge them, yeah.
Are you close to death? Only because we need to take a break, or
yes.
Can we continue or take a break?
Very last question.
Okay.
You testified that the cabins are 740 square feet, and that you have 9 men that that live in those cabins. Do you recall that testimony?
No, but are you sure it was me? I don't know the square footage of the cabin.
I'm sure it was you.
Oh, okay.
So you don't know the square footage of the cabin?
I must have been looking at the map then.
Okay, so we could, let's take a break, because
okay. We have to take 5 minutes break first. lessons. Thank you. Ms. Santa Maria may continue.
So we were talking about the cabins, and it was your testimony that you had 8 men in each cabin, and you said there were 8 cabins, and you testified that the supervision was that there was one either staff or apprentice in each cabin with the 8 men. Do you recall that testimony?
That sounds accurate.
Okay. So, and then we talked about how big, that was a question, how big are the cabins, and the testimony was 740 square feet. Does that sound accurate?
You can't ask her.
If you don't know, it's okay.
Without looking at it, I don't recall. I'm sorry.
You don't recall. Okay. And where are the bathrooms?
The bathrooms are in the cabin.
So there's one bathroom in the cabin?
Or
more than one?
Yeah, it's got multiple showers, sinks, and...
How many?
3.
So 3 showers, 3... Other?
Yeah.
Okay.
And 3 stalls?
And 3 stalls.
And that's in each cabin?
Yes.
And then, what code do you follow, if you know, to make sure that the accommodations for the men are like appropriate or suitable?
I don't know the code.
Okay. And where do residents keep their stuff? Like, where do they keep their clothes?
Every resident has a closet and a dresser.
Is the closet and the dresser in the cabin?
Yes.
Okay. So there's 8 closets and 8 dressers in each cabin?
Yes.
Or 9?
Yes, and then you can have a suitcase, and we have a section in the shed for suitcases for our non-seasonal clothes. Non-seasonal clothes.
Are the beds single beds or are they bunk beds?
Bunk beds.
And then just to go back to that 54 people that did not complete the program but left the program in 2023, so... Do you recall your testimony that 30% of people complete the program?
Yes.
So then if you have 54 people that are walking away, what was the amount of people? It would seem like that would be like, I mean, I'm not a mathematician, but maybe like 150 people coming through the program in 2023 if you had 54 that left and didn't complete.
Well, it isn't that high because you're not accounting for current residents. So a current residents that haven't completed, but also haven't left.
So right, but you said 2023. So how many people completed the program in 2023? If 54 walked away or left, how many people completed?
And it was close to 30%, wasn't it?
No. Answer her question.
Okay.
You said that in 2023, 54 people did not complete the program. So her next question is, in 2023, how many people completed the program? That's your question. Now you can add 16 plus 54 and get 70. And if you had 70 and 16 completed, now you can do the math. What percentage of 70 is 16?
It's 22.86%.
22 what?
0.86.
I don't have anything further for this witness.
I'm sorry?
She has no further questions for this witness.
I have one quick clarification.
22.86%.
I have one quick clarification I wanted to ask you. You were just given, right before the bathroom break, a few different scenarios of people leaving the property, and each time you responded with, I would discharge them. Is that you saying you would discharge them, or is that a stated policy somewhere?
I think that's with any organization, there's a little bit of discretion of the director. So I stated it that way because it avoids that.
Would the expectation then be that Todd may have done something else while he was the director?
It is possible that he could have. I don't know yes or no, but I'm just within the organization. If there was a compelling reason for something that, you know, that's not, you know, knowing all the facts, you know, as he looked into it.
Are there any reported policies for someone leaving the property?
Yeah, it states in the handbook that if you leave the property, it's considered that you left the program and you'd be discharged.
Okay.
Good. Anyone else have questions?
I have one. Way back at some point during this questioning period, the question was asked whether this would serve instead of being incarcerated. And you answered that that is, I guess, a possibility. Has this always been the case? I mean, this is,
yes.
Since you've been here, this option has always been there?
Yes.
Okay.
One quick question, probably two meetings before, and I believe you said it, that you had permits and that you recently redid the septic system there. Was that your, or the person before you?
It wasn't me.
But you just had the septic system within, since we started this application, redone or upgraded?
No.
That definitely would have been Todd Shea's mention of that because it was done during the tenure. However, when we get to him, we have Ted Bayer, who is the engineer.
They have an engineer who will answer all that. Oh, okay.
He'll give you anything you want.
Okay, thank you. Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
With that, we'll open up the questions of this witness to the public.
And can I just say something before
yes,
the public
please.
Asks this witness questions? The municipal land use law says technical rules of evidence shall not be applicable to the hearing, but the agency, in this case the Board of Adjustment, may exclude irrelevant or material or unduly repetitious evidence, and the court cases have interpreted that as also a question. So please, when you go to ask your questions, remember the questions that the objector's attorney has asked. Please do not ask the same questions, or I'm going to be advising the board that's unduly repetitious. Go on to your next question. We want to keep this thing as concise, focused, and to the point as possible.
Yes.
With that, anyone with questions will come right up to the table, right where the table mic is. And this is questions only, no comments, so I'm not going to swear you in at this point. At the very end, when the applicant finishes and people want to give sworn testimony, then I'll swear you in. So if you could just sit down, identify yourself.
Yes. Arnold Pellegrinelli, 33 Country Oaks Road. Arnold Pellegrinelli, P as in Papa, ELLEGRINELLI. That's where it ends.
I would never.
There we go. I got that.
I knew that.
Address? Not necessary?
Not necessary.
Okay.
Yeah, township resident or non-township resident?
Township resident.
Okay.
Ready. Okay. So my question is, could you please describe your background check process of people coming into the program?
Sure. We run a background check through I'm not sure exactly what the system that we use, but it's an online program to run a background check on their name. They produce two forms of identification to show that, one being a picture ID.
You don't send something out to the state police? They don't sign a consent and you don't ask the state police to do a background check? You have some kind of online program?
Yeah.
Not on my phone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could you expand on that? Could you, for example, my question deals with, it was general, but can you expand on what types of background checks are in this background check process?
Yeah, so we're specifically looking at, you know, criminal history, and we're specifically looking at any kind of sexual abuse or any kind of anything that would constitute someone as a sex offender.
And I'm not sure if I'm allowed. Can I ask you to provide the name of the organization at a later point?
What's the name of that,
that provides
yeah,
that
can,
background?
I don't know it, but I can get it.
Okay. You can't find it on your mobile device?
Yeah, I can. If you give me a few minutes, I can.
Well, how many minutes? If you can do like 30 seconds, let's go for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Come back with it.
Come back with it.
Okay, and does this background check process occur for every individual entering the program?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Does that also work for employees, like with a school?
Yes.
You do background checks if you're going to hire somebody?
Yes.
Same procedure?
Same procedure.
Okay.
Anyone else have a question?
Because I work in headquarters, too.
No. For school.
Well, for our employees that we hire.
I understand, but he asked you, you have to listen to what he asked you and what you just answered. He asked you, it's the same as the school. You said, yes, you don't know. Is it the same as the school?
Yeah.
Do you know?
No.
No. That's the answer to your question.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Can you identify yourself for the record, please?
James Valenzola. Township resident, V as in Victor, A-L-A-N-Z-O-L-A.
Township or non-township resident?
Township.
I mean, if people want to give their address, if they can, but we're just asking if you're a township resident or a non-township resident.
Okay. You stated that you produce about 250 cutting boards a week.
That's
that
correct?
Yes. Is that correct? That calculates for 52 weeks. That calculates out to $3,000 a year.
Does that sound right?
Yeah.
What's the average cost of a cutting board?
The cost to make it or
to sell it?
You would have
to sell it.
What's the selling price?
I guess I would put it at 40 and charge the selling price.
About 40.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, at what?
$40.
Sorry, why is it hard to sell?
Because we wholesale as well. So, you know, we provide boards to other centers in New England to for them to be able to do a sales.
Other King Challenge centers?
Yeah.
So it's a $40 sale for each device. It's just going to a different team center.
Yeah. Well, it could be less.
No.
You're saying 40 is retail.
If they're producing cutting boards at another center and selling it at wholesale, it's going to be less than $40.
But the other center would sell it at $40.
I understand, but the other center is going to make the money. He's going to find out what kind of thing is going on here.
What's the wholesale price?
Yeah. Let him ask his question. Then he's like, it's one thing to do it to me. It's another thing to do it to a member of the public.
Okay. Back in July or August, Tai Chien mentioned that your annual budget was about $2.1 million. Does that sound right?
Yeah. That's for all of New England and New Jersey.
Do some of your cutting boards sell for over $75?
I think the highest board is $120, I believe.
$120. And the cheapest board?
Cheapest board.
Is there a website?
Yeah, they're looking at it right now.
Okay. So do you know what the least expensive cutting board on the website is and the most expensive cutting board is?
Maybe 40.
It looks like there's one for $250.
We don't really sell those. That's a specialty board. It's like a sushi board.
The least expensive retail is 40, and the most expensive then will be 250. Even though you don't sell a lot of
them. Yeah, sure. They're not even produced in New Jersey, so.
What type of board do you produce in Clinton? What range of prices? Only $40 or more?
No, we produce the. I believe the top one is 120, I believe.
Okay. So what you're testifying is the cutting boards that you produce at the Clinton facility range in retail price between $40 to $120. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. But sorry about this. I just want
to. So you said the average cost. But the $250 per week was about $40. That can't be right.
Well, I usually put the average of just sales at 50, and I usually put the average of full sales around 30. So that's why I said 40.
So it's more like the average of 50.
For sales. Yeah, but...
Like if I was going to buy a cutting board.
Yeah.
But do you understand what he's saying?
No.
Okay. Am I understanding you correctly that of the 3,000 cutting boards you produce a year, approximately 1,500
of them are sold
retail, and approximately 1,500 of them are sold at wholesale?
Yeah.
So are you estimating that your average price sold at retail is $50 per board, and your average price at wholesale is $30 a board?
Yes.
And hence, that's why you came up with the $40 a board average price for both?
Yes.
That's what his testimony is.
Okay, I'm concerned with... retail.
Okay.
Right? Okay.
So that's like $650,000 a year.
But we don't sell all of those. We wholesale them too. And then not every board we made is sold. There's inventory. So I mean it's not.
About how much money do you make per year from cutting board sales? Todd Sheehan testify that it was about 10% of the $2.1 million. Does that sound right?
Ten percent of the $2.1 million. I think it's probably a little higher than that, but.
Because if you're selling them for an average of 40, it's much more than that. It's more like 30%.
Is that correct? What he says, based on the testimony you gave, that the average price would be $40, if you multiply $40 times 3,000 cutting boards, you would get what, $120,000?
13,000 cutting boards.
13,000.
13,000?
Yes.
250 a week times 50.
Okay, I heard 3,000, sorry. So $40 times 13,000 cutting boards gives you what? I'm asking him. Is it 3,000 or 13,000?
Say it again?
Cutting boards. I know it's 250 a week times 52 weeks. You said that you produce 3,000 a year, really 13,000 a year, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so $13,000 a year times $40, average price for the planning board comes to what?
Comes to $520,000.
Okay, what percentage of $2.1 million is $520,000?
Well, that's not going to be accurate, because again...
You have costs.
You have costs, but you also have inventory, yeah.
Actually, also, the $2.1 million, that's for all of New England.
All of New England and New Jersey.
So what is just New Jersey?
Yeah, what's the budget just for New Jersey?
Okay, let's see. I'm going to see
if we can
build this.
For 2023, correct?
Yes.
Sure. Assuming the board's per week list for 2023.
Yeah, she didn't get that, whatever you said. So if you want her to get it, say it louder, otherwise don't say it.
$355,000
is the budget for
the income for 2023
from the cutting board.
From the boards, yeah.
$455,000. Now, what is the budget for the New Jersey facility?
That's what we're talking about.
Let him finish.
Yes, you said that the income from selling the cutting boards.
New Jersey is
$355,000. Yes. Now I'm asking you, what is the budget for the New Jersey facility for 2023? What is $355,000 divided by $1.5
million?
1,150,000.
4.22.
That's not correct. No.
What did I do?
42%. You moved the decimal.
Oh, I did. 42%. I
didn't
get the other way around. Yeah, 23%.
Okay. So, according to the numbers you just gave, 23% of the Clinton Township facility's budget of $1,498,000. Is from the $355,000 income from the sale of cutting boards in 2023. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, keep on going.
Actually, sorry, I need to clarify one more thing. The $1.498 million is the budget for this facility out of $2.1 million for the entirety of New England and New Jersey?
$2.1 million
is this part. I said the $1.498 million, that's the piece of the budget for New Jersey out of the $2.1 million for all of New England and New Jersey?
$2.1 million is the carpet, is just the boards for all of New England and New Jersey.
Ah, okay. All right, thank you.
So, I still need some clarification then. Sorry, so 2.1 is the boards, the
1.5. Now, $2.1 doesn't apply here. That's where the board is coming from all their facilities.
Okay.
So he testified, correct me if I'm wrong, that the income from the boards produced at the Clinton Township facility is $355,000. Is that correct?
Yes.
He testified that the budget for the Clinton Township facility to run it was $1,498,000. Is that correct?
Correct.
So we then asked him to divide...
$1,498,000
is
$1.498 million
total, right?
Yeah.
So if you
take $355,000. You said, hold on. You said the term income. I'm being really nitpicky.
Okay.
You said the term income. Yeah, income is a different designation in our balance sheet. All right?
Yeah.
Income.
question.
That is a question. You just said income.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they sell the boards for
not
more.
Not budget. The previous question was budget.
That was to the 2.1 million. No. That wasn't to the 355,000.
Okay. Okay.
So the question that this member of the public tried to ask, which I think he did ask, was he wanted to figure out what percentage of the budget at the Clifton Township facility was funded by the sales of cutting boards. That's what you wanted to find out, right?
Correct.
It appears, based on the testimony of this witness, that the answer is approximately 23% of the $1,498,000 budget is funded by income from the sales of boards manufactured at the facility, with the income level being $355,000.
Okay. Very good.
Okay. Am I correct? That was your testimony, right?
Yeah. And yes.
Okay.
That's different than Todd Sheen's.
That's correct. Noted.
Okay. Where does the rest of the money come from?
We can't hear you.
Where does the rest of the money come from?
Where does the rest of the money to fund the budget come from? Is that your question?
Yes.
Donations, fundraisers.
Do you get any money from the federal or state government?
We don't accept, you mean like insurance-wise?
No.
No.
Funding.
Grant money.
No grant money. The only income connected to that are residents that have EBT income.
Have what?
EBT.
What is EBT?
It's another way of work for food stamps.
So SNAP.
SNAP. Yeah, SNAP benefits.
Okay.
But that's the only thing tied to the state.
And insurance money also?
No insurance. We don't take insurance.
You don't take insurance. The raw materials for the wood shop, how does that get to your property?
By delivery.
What size trucks do deliver that lumber?
I don't know.
Okay. Do you get deliveries from by trucks that are 18-wheelers, semi tractor trailers, for wood and for other things?
I honestly don't know.
I think you do.
He doesn't know. That's his answer.
Okay.
When it's time for testimony, you'll fill the board in on what you saw based on personal observation.
You testified about what is Team Challenge. Does this brochure look familiar to you?
Why don't you hand it over to me?
Can the questioner describe what he's handing to the...
Not yet. He's going to give it to the witness. He's asking him,
does it look familiar?
Is it familiar to him?
Yep.
Okay, now, if it looks familiar, now you can say it. If he said no, then we would have just put it away. Okay, so what is that you're holding in your hand that Mr. Valenzola gave you?
It's one of our old program brochures.
When you say old, you know what year? Vintage?
No, it doesn't necessarily. I know it's old because it's we created one that is newer, and this one says 15 months, which is not accurate anymore.
Okay. So do you have questions about that brochure?
Yes.
Okay. So take a look at it and give it back to Mr. Valenzola. He's going to ask you some questions about it. You have another copy of it. Leave him with one then.
Give him a copy.
You have a copy. Give him a copy. You have another copy?
I don't. I'm sorry.
Go ahead with your question.
Okay. we've asked, or the board has asked, and the neighbors have asked about what the program included. It lists here the five phases, and it describes what the five phases are. Is that correct, what's shown on this brochure?
No, we are no longer five phases, we're four.
Now you're four phases. It also says here that Teen Challenge is a 15-month Christian residential drug and alcohol recovery program for men and women 18 years and older. You stated that it was not drug and alcohol recovery, it was a Christian ministry. Is that correct?
It is no longer, as I mentioned, it's no longer a 15-month program, and we do consider ourselves an alternative option for residents for a Christian residential program for drugs and alcohol. It's not a licensed program by any means. We're not state licensed. That's why we don't collect state insurance.
Does the new brochure still use the same words to describe your program?
I don't know.
Could we get a copy of the new brochure?
Yeah, absolutely.
In the past, I think in the accreditation criteria, one of the things that was missing from New Jersey was the mission statement. This brochure, the old brochure, has the mission statement listed here. Why was that an issue for the accreditation program if you did have a mission statement?
So you're saying in our accreditation visit, we didn't produce a mission statement?
Correct. I think that was one of the outstanding items.
Okay. I don't recall if it could have been missing from, I think you're referring to it not being stated in our employee manual for headquarters, and that it wasn't, you know, that the document must have come off in a section during an update or an edit, and they had to add it back.
But this is, you're guessing or assuming?
Well, I kind of know or not. I can look.
Do you know or not as you sit here right now?
So don't look?
No, look. Okay. But look, then testify. Yeah. Don't testify.
Yeah, look. I kind of remember the letters.
Oh, sorry, what?
So it was, there was no board, board of directors needed a signed statement attesting the board's alignment to the mission, vision, and statement of faith, and that it had been updated with the new board.
Do we have a copy of that mission statement?
You're asking for a copy?
Yes.
Yes.
He said he's going to submit the new one, and we're also going to ask him if you wouldn't mind giving us that old one.
I can give you that one. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Mark this because this is what is being presented by the objector as identified as the old brochure.
So do you want it marked as an A exhibit or an objector exhibit?
Let's mark it as an objector exhibit.
Okay.
And we'll provide you
with the new... Okay, so hold that for one second. When Amy yes. submits her exhibits, she's going to have the O designation because she represents an objector. So I think what we should do with public exhibits, we're going to call them P exhibits. So this is going to be our first P exhibit. This is going to be P1. So can you please hand me that old brochure? Yes.
Yeah.
You have a clean copy over there?
Yeah, I'm just taking a scan of it. Just give me one second.
Scan that thing.
That's a copy of that.
That's all right. This one's literally dirty.
That's the way I found it.
I understand.
Thank you.
Okay, so P1 is an undated brochure, which we're going to call the old brochure. So you're going to submit the new brochure, and you're going to submit the mission statement.
Your visits outside your property to the community, you do your evangelical work, is that, are those dates published? Do you have dates of when that happens or will happen?
Maybe on, depending on our, you know, depending on who's updating our social media, we like to post on our social media, Facebook, what church service we're going to.
Okay. When you go to the churches, is it for worship or for testimony and looking for donations?
Yeah, both. Yeah, cool. Churches are a big supporter of Adult and Teen Challenge, especially in the Assemblies of God.
You mentioned that you have volunteers on your site. What do the volunteers do?
They provide mentoring, discipleship, some direct care, a little bit.
Could anyone volunteer?
Well, as you saw from our credentials that we submitted, three were pastors and one was a long-time long-time men's ministry leader. So that's the volunteers that we're looking for are along those lines, and we do obviously vet them out.
And your master carpenter at the shop, what credentials does he have? What makes him a master carpenter?
His experience, his background.
It's not a certification.
No.
It's not a certification, is it?
Question. It's not a certification, is it?
No, he was just restating what he said for her.
I think that's all of my questions.
I have a couple.
That's okay.
Going back to the cutting boards, is there a quota that you're required to produce of number of cutting boards?
No, and the numbers weren't perfect because we times it by 52. We don't necessarily.
No, I understand. Yeah. And so you could 1 year produce 10,000 and 1 year produce 2,000.
Yes.
So, and what happens if you fall below what the percentage we were talking about tonight? How is that money made up for in your budget? Where do you get that extra money? Is that provided? Is that made up by more donations that are funneled your way and that sort of thing?
Well, that's we try to make up for it. We don't necessarily make up for it. You know, we might.
But you're not penalized by you know, corporate. I don't want to call it corporate, but there's no penalty if you don't produce.
If we don't make the budget.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not at the staff level. It would mm-hmm. be more. It would be more up to the director to come up with a plan to try to, you know, make budget and
through other sources.
Yeah, stay in the black. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen last year, but it's okay because, you know, the mission is saving lives from addiction. So that remains, you know, our kind of motto of resident first, you know, that remains at the forefront of everything else we do. But yeah, I mean, it's not, that's why the goals, you know, are not as, it's not as driven towards amount.
It's not driven by the numbers. It's driven more by what's learned.
The impact.
Yeah. During the production.
Absolutely. Correct.
What didn't happen? You didn't meet budget or you didn't meet income? You said it didn't happen. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, we did. We weren't in the black. Okay. We're in the red.
That's the question.
By a little bit, but it's okay.
What is your largest single non-cutting board source of income as part of that budget? Isn't this the type of content you told us you do know readily available?
Yeah, but
I'm right, because this is not.
But I'm on the 2024. When you're in the red, you turn the page quick and you try to.
Okay.
I can tell you my budget from 1976.
You do?
Business. I can also tell you from 2005. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm just sitting here going, you don't seem to know anything. You constantly have to look at that. And I find that leaders within corporations, and I ran leadership for a large Fortune 500 company for over 10 years, know their stuff. I'm just going to tell you point blank, I'm surprised at all these meetings that we've had, what you don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, you're also saying don't guess. Like, look at, you know, don't just
what
guess.
What you don't know.
So I'm testifying to something. I know the answer, but I need to, but I'm being instructed to, you know, not use language like what I believe or this is, you know, this is where I believe it is.
I don't know.
So it's a general category called contributions and donations. It's, you know, it's
contributions and donations, you said?
Yeah.
Is the largest single non-cutting board source?
Yeah.
What is the largest contribution or donation?
Singular contribution or donation? I mean, you know, we've, you know, typically it's in the largest would be in the, you know, the $10,000 range.
And how much is that category?
Public question.
What's that?
That category, the
how much?
The contributions and donations.
$320,000.
Okay. Other questions from the public?
No,
you've been up.
Come on up.
Where was that?
Betty Higley, I'm speaking on behalf of my mother, 268 Stanton Mountain Road. I live at 116 Stanton Mountain Road.
Spell your last name?
Higley.
Okay, so you're not speaking on behalf of your mother, you're asking questions. And if you live on Stanton Mountain Road, you're asking questions in your own right.
Correct, okay. You mentioned that you vet your clientele through
an online program.
No, like you used a urine dipstick when your clientele came to you for admittance. You also said you took pornography offenders or pornography addiction, and I was kind of curious how you vet them, because you can't really give them a drug test, and they're on site. And in the future, you mentioned that your property was going to become co-ed, and I have concerns.
Okay.
So, how do you discern the addiction, the pornography or sex addiction, by a potential customer?
Well, what we're looking for in the test, the DIP test, is to ensure that, you know, they're not currently on anything that's unsafe. That they.
I know. But even if you got any questions.
Yeah.
Look towards her when you give your answer, then she'll hear you. And even though you're asking him questions, my suggestion is everyone look towards Jackie when you're asking or answering the question. That way, we'll have less of a problem.
Yep. So what we're doing the DIP test, we're looking to make sure individuals are safe and detox. Since we're not a medical facility, we don't detox. So we wouldn't have that same procedure, that same concern with somebody that's coming in with a non-drug or alcohol related, we'll still do that. We'll still, you know, test them to be sure and not just take their word for it. But we're not checking for, you know, but there's no safety issue.
So other than a criminal record, is it safe to say that there's no way for you to discern sex addiction as a clearance to admittance?
Are you asking if they came in and they wanted to come into the program, that we have to make sure that they really do have a sex addiction?
Or how you would take appropriate precautions to formulate the best therapy for their problem?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a good question. It's we're a little bit like an emergency room in that way of, like, and obviously emergency rooms, they have more tests they can do, but if somebody comes in and they're limping and they're complaining about their leg and their leg's broken and they need help with their leg, we're going to do everything we can to help them treat that issue with their leg. If they really have a broken arm and they know it and they don't want to be honest about it because they don't want to deal with it, then yeah, it's going to be a little bit hard to address that problem. So if somebody comes in and they're saying this is the area that I need to work on, you know, that's going to be our primary focus. But the beautiful thing about a long-term program, and where a lot of the effectiveness comes from, is that you know you're at 12 months of living side by side with other men in recovery, other men going through the similar things, that usually doesn't stay hidden. If there's something else you got to work on, that usually doesn't stay hidden, and that comes to the surface and we're able to deal with it. And that's where our personalized growth plans and our work with, you know, the mentors and staff and the discipleship process all comes into play.
So in continuing the same vein, have you formulated your plan to become co-ed?
Yeah, so our thought process is to take one of the Southern New England Women's Home is highly successful. They've been doing it for 30 years in Southern New England, and so our thought process is to let them be a kind of a mother to a newly launched women's home. Let them launch it, let them provide the leadership, let them provide the structure that they know is effective with women's programming, and really kind of take their lead, let them, you know, put all that together.
So I'm confused. So are they moving to Stanton Mountain Road, or are they going to manage from afar?
No. They would be its own. We would have its own. Have their own staff and leadership. But I'm saying, you know, you asked if we formulated a plan, and that's where we're taking our cues from, you know, an organization, a center that's been successful for 30 years. The director there has been the director, has been involved as a volunteer basis all 30 years, and then became a staff and eventually a director.
Is it supposed to be on the same site?
Yes.
Okay.
So,
we did talk with the president of Teen Challenge USA, and we asked them, you know, about other similar centers in the United States that have men and women on the same property and the effectiveness. And you know, he said, it takes management. You have to put some things in place, but you guys.
Let me ask your attorney. The application in front of the board, is it for a co-ed facility or is it for the all men's facility?
The application before the board has been for the all men's facility. And this is something where I would like to discuss with my client, but I think this is a potential change in the program.
Is this future, or what are you talking about? What kind of timeline are you talking about?
Yeah, we want to launch right away. I mean, we have residents overfilled in Southern New England. We have staff. We got the structure in place to do it.
You want this part of this application? You guys got to talk.
Well, that's what I just said. Yeah. I would like the opportunity.
Yeah. Go ahead. Keep on answering your questions.
I have another question. Do you manage from afar via Zoom? You haven't been here for a month, and you seem to come down for these meetings, spend a couple days, and then go back. Do you manage from afar? Do you manage on Zoom? Is that how?
Yeah, Zoom, phone calls.
Typically done. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
What would a reasonable response time be if a neighbor called you with concerns?
A reasonable response time from me?
From the facility.
If a neighbor has concerns, who do you call? Start with.
Okay, if a neighbor had concerns, who would we call?
The program line. It would be the most accessible.
Okay. If the neighbor called the program line, what would a reasonable response time be to hear back from the camp if they weren't able to get them on the phone?
I would say a reasonable, my mind, a reasonable response time would be, within an hour.
Okay. When you lose power on the site, which as a neighbor we do real often, including this week, does the security feed go down when the power goes down? I know you installed two new generators that were going to be responsible for keeping the wells going and certain parts of the campus, but what does the generator feed?
Yeah, it does feed the dining room where all of our cameras are come from.
Okay.
Yeah. This will be our last question for this evening. It is roughly 10 o'clock now. How many more questions do we have?
One, two, three, four, five, six.
You know what? If it's 10 o'clock and you've got six questions and people need a break, maybe it's time to just break and continue the hearing.
We'll continue.
How many other people in the public have questions to this witness by a show of hands? Okay. And I will say, so far the questions have not been unduly repetitious, cap off. So kudos to members of the public for the questions.
Are you okay continuing our next meeting?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Our next hearing is our next meeting is April 15th. Right, we're going to take it from the planning board, and I will say that I do not think that that new application. I don't think there's any way possible that new application that we talked about earlier can be heard on April 15th. There's not enough time for the board experts to do their reports.
Is that Main Street?
Yeah. Because 210 Main Street was being complete. We'll discuss that only after the meeting, but there's 120 days in order to be complete. So plenty of time. So I believe, I think, that unless there's something else other than that application, that this should be the only application heard on April 15th. So we're going to continue the hearing in this application to April 15th, realizing that right now the COA does not have a meeting scheduled for April 15th. We're going to try to steal the planning board's second meeting and have them cancel the second meeting, so we're going to have to put out an open public meeting act notice for 2 weeks.
No, we have a specific voice and we have blocks.
Okay.
Sorry.
No problem. We're going to the fire alarm.
No.
We've done that once. So, the hearing in this matter is going to be continued to April 15th. No need for further notice. When is the time to decide this application is filed?
I thought the end of May.
End of May.
Yeah.
So we're going to ask that we put that to the end of June, 30th. Yes?
Yes, no problem.
Okay.
Okay. Have a motion to adjourn?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
The meeting is adjourned.
No, I want to say
you're not. Who's poor that is? So that is stiff meeting.